unemployment rate, which is expected to remain at 8.2%. President Obama hits the road today to pitch keeping low interest rates on federal college loans. NBC's Scott Walterman says it's the start of a renewed campaign that will enlist most of his administration.
President Obama plans to speak to students and parents at a Northern Virginia high school on Friday. Cabinet members make their case across the country next week.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry now says that Chen Guanchen can apply to study overseas. He's been asking the U.S. to help him and his family leave China. A high school teacher in California has been given probation for starting a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student. She's 31 years old. This is NBC News Radio. A man who worked for the National Archives building for more than 40 years will serve 18 months in jail for his conviction linked to the theft of nearly 1,000 items, some of which were put up for sale on eBay.
There were situations where instead of putting records in the archives, he just took the property home and put it in his basement and then sold it.
U.S. Attorney Rod Rosenstein says 67-year-old Leslie Woffen admits he took the items, including an eyewitness report of the 1937 Hindenburg disaster and a Bob Hope performance before the troops during World War II. Gay couples in Colorado may soon have legal protection for civil unions. A bill to do so has cleared committee. More than a dozen states provide such legal protections to gay couples. And Demi Moore has finally changed her Twitter name from @MrsKutcher to @JustDemi. She has 5 million followers. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Sam Worthington is the young star of Avatar. He's now in a string of blockbuster films with more to come. But what interests me about Sam's career is his early flop. As a young man, Sam failed at a prestigious dramatic academy. Frustrated, his father sent him on a one-way trip, telling him to work his way home. A few years later, while doing construction, Sam earned a second chance at another acting school, and film success followed. This is Howard Budd Jr. of Laity Lodge. Our setbacks are often of our own making. But Sam Worthington reminds us that the only guarantee of permanent failure is when we cease to try in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Plenty of talk surrounds Facebook. As its initial public stock offering approaches 2 weeks from now, things will go well if its fortunes match those of its rival LinkedIn, which has been public almost a year. LinkedIn stock jumped 8% in after-hours trades. Its first quarter profit more than doubled as 16 million more people posted their resumes on the site. Yahoo's board of directors says it will now review the claims made by its CEO on his resume. This after an activist hedge fund with a 6% stake in Yahoo accused Scott Thompson of padding his credentials. Thompson was an accounting major and earned a bachelor's degree from Stonehill College in Massachusetts. The hedge fund says Thompson's claim that he also holds a computer science degree is an embellishment. Ahead of the biggest economic report of the month, April job creation this morning, stock futures are treading water. S&P futures down a point, NASDAQ futures gaining a fraction of a point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Know how. This commercial has stopping power, my friends, so listen up. NAPA is offering up to a $50 mail-in rebate card with the purchase of qualifying brake products. So hurry or stop in. NAPA brakes are built to the highest quality standards and designed to improve stopping in all conditions. So come on in to your local NAPA Auto Parts store or Auto Care Center. $50, that's real money, my friend. Mail-in rebate available with qualifying purchase at participating NAPA Auto Parts stores and Auto Care Centers. Visit NAPAonline.com for details. Offer expires 5/31/12.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Booyah! We're going to make it a Booyah Friday for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's Friday, so that in and of itself should qualify. Although we do need to have certain standards for a Booyah Day, and we don't Booyah that often. So it can't be just because it's Friday, because not every Friday qualifies as a Booyah Friday. But this one does for a variety of reasons. One of them is that my son Dominic is coming home for the summer, so after the show, I will be going to get him at Michigan State and looking forward to bringing him home for a few months. I know Anthony's excited as well. I can't see Anthony right now, but I'm sure he is rolling his eyes. All right, with that said, we've got a lot to get to today. I will give you an update as best I can. Actually, there's not much of an update, but I will address the Stephanie Miller situation, but only once. I'm not going to do it every hour on the hour. I'm just going to mention it once, and then we're going to move on. And then, we'll, of course, we've got lots of good stuff to get to you today, including some amazing guests. Summer Minnick, the rather beautiful Summer Minnick, will join us in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about the personal property tax and the Michigan Municipal League's Replace, Don't Repeal campaign. Kevin Howley, who, if we do our job properly, will be the next Oakland County executive, will be with us at 7:35. Occupy Detroit occupies for a shift at 7:50. Shannon McEvely will join us to talk to us about the caucuses. And Joe DeSano, partner in Main Street Strategies, political consultant extraordinaire, truth talker to the nth degree, my Italian Goombadi. For those of you that are Italian, you get it. And then, of course, we do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Planning. Planning. Planning is a beautiful thing. Planning is our first word today. Planning is a beautiful thing. Putting thought, shape, form to something. Really stopping and being deliberate about what you want to do. What gets you from point A to point B. What is the last line to enclose the box or the last segment to enclose the circle. That takes planning. Folks, whether you're putting a building in place or you're looking to build a place, like that, pretty clever, huh? It involves planning, whether you're an architect or an engineer, whether you are a poet or a prophet. It all involves planning. Planning is a critical function of form. It truly, the best things that happen rarely just fall into place. It's as a result of excellence and quality and, oh my gosh, that thing we call planning. You know, and maybe we need to be a little bit more deliberate, a little bit more professional, a little bit more whatever, but certainly we have to be thoughtful about our planning process.
I bring this up today because I think it's important as we move forward with every passing day, as we get closer and closer to Election Day. We need to make sure that we've got a plan in place and we stick to that plan, because there's nothing worse than investing in a plan and then abandoning it as soon as you feel like it's not working as quickly as it should, or whatever the case might be. Folks, let's just all come together. Let's figure this out. Let's put a plan in place and let's just get it done. That's right. Today's first word is planning, and I'm planning to welcome Jeff Radford back to the show. In fact, I'm not only planning to do it, I'm literally going to say good morning to him right now. Good morning to you, Jeff Radford.
Good morning. I just found out that if I want to make these mint juleps, I got to start today, like right now, after the show.
Okay.
I looked it up. They need a mint syrup, and mint syrup takes an overnight procedure. So.
Ooh.
I'm all for this Kentucky Derby stuff going on.
Yeah, you're pretty committed to bringing into your life some Kentucky Derby tradition this weekend.
I've never done it. I've always heard about it. You tune in, you watch, and you see the fancy hats, of course. You see the mint juleps, which is the official drink of Kentucky Derby. And then you told me about something that I had kind of heard about before, but sounds delicious.
Kentucky Hot Browns.
I don't know what's in them.
Well, you got to Google it and then make them. You can do it. You've got the skill set to do it.
All right.
It's a sandwich. It's an open-faced sandwich, and it's just a very traditional, and it's part of if you're a Kentucky Derby fan, part of a tradition, a Kentucky Derby tradition. Of course, served outside the Kentucky Derby as well, but part of that tradition. There's plenty of reasons to get involved in this festivities. You know, tomorrow happens to be Cinco de Mayo as well, right? Yeah, that's tomorrow. And I'm kind of curious, because all of a sudden I'm seeing commercials for Party City saying, hey, buy your Cinco de Mayo kit today, which is cool. If people are actually, you know, actually putting that stuff together, which is awesome. I think it's great that, you know, we've got something to plan. Hey, go back to our first word today. You know, you got to plan this kind of stuff. But I'm hoping that you really do this tomorrow. I'm hoping you have fun with this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What a weird day. I mean, I don't want to sound like an alcoholic. I barely ever drink. But mint juleps for the Kentucky Derby. And then, of course, if it's Cinco de Mayo, everyone's...
Margaritas.
Margaritas or Corona, right? I mean, that's what I've heard anyway.
Either way, they try
and commercialize a holiday that should have a little more seriousness than that.
You know, literally, this was probably 4 years ago now. We had the restaurant Wyandotte. We did a big Cinco de Mayo festival. And I went all out, made all kinds. And I actually have some literal experience in authentic Mexican food. Is when I was in high school for 4 years, I worked in a Mexican restaurant, an authentic Mexican restaurant, and I studied under an amazing guy by the name of Nick Ochoa, who sadly passed away many, many years ago, Jeff. But I really do know how to make authentic Mexican food. I'm not talking about nachos. I'm talking in tacos. I'm talking about the good stuff. So I did that and was amazed at the response that we got to that. But, yeah, they have commercialized, whoever they are, maybe it's the Restaurant Association, have commercialized Cinco de Mayo in a way that is great, because there are lots of different restaurants that now participate in it, and why not?
Well, it's great in a sense, because it's fun, you know, it's good to have fun, but I heard somebody say, and I was almost offended, I'm not even Mexican, but I'm kind of offended by, you know, this categorization of the holiday. They called it a Hallmark holiday. Well, first of all, I don't know anyone who gives out cards on Cinco de Mayo.
And it's not a Hallmark holiday.
And it has a significance behind it. Like, who calls July 4th of July a Hallmark holiday?
Yeah, no. Who did that?
I can't remember what news channel it was, but I think it was a local news station.
We need to bitch slap someone. That's not right. That's not right.
No, I agree. I didn't. Like I said, I was nearly offended, but because to take something like that, which is pretty serious and significant event, and then suddenly, you know, I think the commercialization of it kind of takes away from the significance. But it's a day to have fun, and people enjoy getting together and celebrating it. But the Hallmark holiday tag. I didn't like that at all.
Nah, no. I'm reading Sweetest Day's a Hallmark holiday.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's a day. It goes by and I forget about it. And then 3 days later, someone said, "Hey, did you?" Oh yeah, yeah. I guess that day happened a couple days ago. I'm reading the ingredients for these hot brown sandwiches. I have no idea, unless I'm on like a super technical cooking site. I have no idea why you think I have the skill set to make these things.
Why? What? Very quickly. What's there that you can't do?
What is it? Turkey. You need turkey.
Right.
Bacon.
Right.
And then this cheese sauce. Sounds complex. Plus that this one says
basically a hollandaise
bread.
Sauce, but you can buy a hollandaise sauce already done.
Oh, so now we're going cheap on this.
It's not cheap. If you buy the right one, it's not cheap. There's also powdered mixes, but you know, listen, the hollandaise sauce, literally, you can make it in a blender, because if you use lemon juice with the raw egg yolks, the lemon juice will of course pasteurize the egg yolks so that you don't need to worry about salmonella.
Oh, see, I don't see lemon juice in here at all.
Well, listen, I got a recipe. If you're serious about doing this, I'll share with you.
And then the assembly to this sandwich sounds complex. This is a long process.
Well, you know what? That's one of what I'm sure are many recipes online. I would suggest you go to recipes.com because they often have lots of different recipes for the same thing. So you can, and it'll match your skill level. So if you're more comfortable doing something easier or more complicated, though those options are available to you. You can do this.
Great. Match your skill level. You know what? I'll be having a turkey sandwich tomorrow. It'll be like, go get yourself some sliced turkey, put it on bread, and eat.
No, I'm telling you. It's worth the effort. It truly is worth the effort.
Well, the mint juleps sound like they're going to take forever, so...
Yeah, even then, you can buy the mint julep
syrup.
Yeah,
but it said the same thing. It's not that you can do that, but it's not quite the same.
Listen, do you know how to make a simple syrup?
I just looked it up. Yeah, it's like 5 minutes of boiling water and sugar.
Right.
And then you smash mint leaves into it. And
absolutely.
Make a syrup.
And then you let it sit overnight.
Yep, that's what I'm
gonna do. It literally takes 5 minutes, Jeff. There's nothing complicated about that. It's truly, there's nothing complex. Once the sugar dissolves in the water, once it gets hot, and you put the mint in there, you're done. You put it in the fridge and you walk away.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the complexity. It's the, there's a lot of planning involved.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get this Friday First Shift program kicked into gear. If you'd like to join us, feel free, 888-552-3595. Might be a little too early for a mint julep, but maybe not. Maybe you're just wrapping up your day and not starting it. We'll take the break and be back. This is 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Hey, got some good news. 75 in both directions at 696, that is now open. That was closed due to flooding. And we got traffic light problems. On Gratiot in both directions at 10 mile, traffic lights are out. Telegraph North and Southbound at McNichols, you got malfunctioning traffic lights. And 8 mile, both directions at Mile Road, traffic lights are out. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310WZTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Coel and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity together as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues. TheMichiganSummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at TheMichiganSummit.org right now.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday morning, the 4th day of May, 2012. A pleasure to be with you. I did go on to the internet, Jeff, here in the studio, and a couple recipes for the Kentucky Hot Brown. Bobby Flay's would be the complicated one.
I found, well, do you know what the hot brown sandwich was, do you know where it originated from?
I used to know it. I don't anymore.
Anthony helped me look it up. The Louisville Brown Hotel.
Which, by the way, has a recipe on Google. So if you
yes, know. I'm looking at it right now. In fact, we were talking about the differences in recipes and the differences in cheese. And the first thing I looked up said white cheddar. He looked one up that said Monterey. But the official Louisville Hotel hot brown sandwich, it says Romano cheese.
Okay. Well, again, I can't eat some of the stuff that's on that sandwich now. Someday I will, but today I can't. So I'm going to stop focusing on it because I'm salivating. I'm literally salivating. I went grocery shopping yesterday to pick up some stuff to have in the house, and I bought these. They had ribeye steaks on sale, which are expensive, but you know, I thought, well, they look beautiful, they were on sale, and so I bought four beautiful ones because there are four of us at home. Only two, after I put them in my cart and walked away, went, I don't think I can eat steak yet, but that's okay, that's fine. What did you think of the weather yesterday? 89 degrees, set a record, by the way.
I was waiting for our phone call. We got a phone call yesterday complaining about the weathermen. And then, of course, yesterday, the predictions all over the internet and on TV were scattered thunderstorms. It was going to be hot, but it didn't sound like it was going to get that hot. And all day yesterday, the sun was out, beautiful day. Like you said, got really hot. It's been hard to predict. I think, actually, the front that they thought was coming in for Wednesday and Thursday came in earlier because Monday was when it rained all day. And then since then, it's just been hot.
It has been hot. Well, it's not going to be nearly as hot today. And, of course, the day tomorrow, which, by the way, the big rally in Lansing for the recall of Governor Snyder is tomorrow. And it's supposed to be beautiful in Lansing anyway, sunny and 70 degrees. I can't imagine it gets better than that. So I'm hoping a lot of people come out. I want to remind you that we'll be streaming the rally live on our website at thetonyshow.org, but we do want to encourage everybody that is available to come on up to the state capitol. Going to be a lot of people there, a lot of great guests, including John Nichols from The Nation magazine. So we hope that a lot of people will show up. And very quickly, and then we'll move on. Many of you, of course, were disappointed that Stephanie Miller has been displaced. Yesterday, we started the show by giving you an opportunity to send in comments, which many, many, many of you did. Some of you left messages or talked to me personally in my office. I did share all of that with station management. They will be making a decision what to do. I do not know what that decision will be. I was not invited, nor did I expect to be invited to that meeting. And like you, I will find out when, not today, but I would guess on Monday or whenever they make the decision, what they're going to do, whether they're going to stay or put Stephanie back in that time slot, or they're going to keep Michael Patrick Shields on in that time. It's, again, your concerns and your reaching out to us has been appreciated and has been passed along, and I assure you we're taken personally. I assure you they were taken seriously. So please, ladies and gentlemen, if you would still like to send emails, go ahead and do that. But I think the decision will be made at some point this morning, and we're just going to have to learn to live with whatever the outcome is. As we reminded you yesterday, and Jeff, you know, you and I had this conversation as well. It was just a year ago that I came on the air, and a lot of you were very unhappy about my show. Now, listen, I understand that Michael Patrick Shields is not a liberal. And Anthony and I listened to the show for a little while on the way home yesterday, and Michael Patrick Shields gave a soliloquy about being a nothing. In fact, he said he's not a conservative, and he's not a liberal, he's not a Republican, he's not a Democrat. In fact, he literally said he doesn't have an opinion. And his job is to present all sides of issues. Don't complain to me. I get that some of you don't get that. I heard from a lot of you yesterday. So I get it. Let's just let the process play out. Fair enough. I think that we've done what we can do. And I was happy to give you an opportunity to express yourself. And I really do want to thank all of you that did reach out to us, to me yesterday. And I assure you that every single response I got was passed on to station management. Every single response. So, Jeff, I foolishly have the picture of a hot brown sandwich sitting on my iPad right now, and I don't know what I'm trying to do to myself, but it's torture.
Looks delicious.
Yeah, and it's the tomato. Without the tomato, I'm serious too. I've obviously eaten these.
I was thinking it was the bacon, but
well, the bacon. Listen, anything that has bacon and tomato, and then that sauce kind of works as like a mayo. So you know, just the combination of those three, the texture, and then of course, if you use a really good turkey, and especially if you roast a turkey breast, which is the preferable way to do it. You don't have to do it that way. You can go out and buy turkey breast, of course. But you want to make sure it's hot when you serve it. Oh, sweet Jesus, what's wrong with me? I need to let go of this. All right, I'm going to bring my email back. That's probably the smartest thing for me to do. Fair enough? Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Okay. Blah blah blah. We got a busy show today. Let me look at our audio. All right. And we have this. We have that. And then we have that. We're going to save that for Joe DeSano. Although I do want to quickly mention this. I'll throw this out to you, Jeff. Really, Governor Snyder as a whispered VP candidate? I find that absolutely hilarious. I actually found it funny when I read it.
Yeah, that was interesting when I saw that on the news today.
A columnist out of Tampa writes this story about hotel placement, and that Snyder's hotel is closer to the convention center, and so that tells this particular Republican pundit that means he's a serious candidate for the vice presidency. Oh, Jeff, if these are the criteria the Republicans use, it's kind of scary. But we'll talk about it a little bit more later on. I can't fathom that this guy can go from being nothing. That's Governor Snyder, because he was just basically an accountant that worked for a company, made a lot of money, to governor, to vice president of the United States of America. And I'm going to go back to something we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show, a heartbeat away from the presidency. So here's my question to you before we go to break. Can you imagine if Rick Snyder were the president of the United States of America? There's a visual for you. Yep, you just threw up a little bit in your mouth, didn't you? I knew it. We're going to come back, and Charlie LaDuff visits Bob Ficano once again. Poor Bob. Poor Bob. We'll take the break. Lots to get to on the other side. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There are no accidents to report, but we do have traffic lights out on 8 Mile in both directions at Mound Road and Ryan Road. We got a malfunctioning traffic signal on Telegraph in both directions at McNichols. And on Gratiot, both directions at 10 Mile, traffic lights are out. So you want to use caution in all of those areas. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310
WDEW. Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not. Okay.
All right.
All right. So we're ready.
Have you heard about the earthquake that has shaken Wall Street to its very core? Well, brace yourself, for this really is a shocker. Bonus payments are down. Yes, the exorbitant bonus checks pocketed each year by the Goldman Sachs, Citigroupers, and other financial tinkers have been cut by about 25% this year. And, oh, you should hear the Wall Streeters moaning the hard times down-and-out banker blues. It's a disaster, sobbed one. The entire construct of compensation has changed. Cynics, of course, will say, good, about time. And it is difficult in these times of middle-class collapse and rising poverty to get teary-eyed over a few financial swells getting a trim. But come on, open your hearts to their pain. A hedge fund manager, for example, says it'll now be a strain for him to keep his $7,500 annual membership dues in the Trump National Golf Club. Plus, he worries about food, health care, and boarding. Not for him, but for his two dogs. He's been laying out $17,000 a year for upkeep of his Labradoodle and his Bichon Frise, including around $5,000 to hire a daily dog walker for them. The crunch is so bad for these one percenters that one says he now has to shop for discounted salmon for dinner and has had to give up his annual ski trip to Aspen. And a high-dollar accountant who does financial planning for the wealthy practically weeps for clients who are having to cut back. Could you imagine what it's like to say, I got three kids in private school, I have to think about pulling them out, he asks? Dabbing his eyes with tissues, he adds that these people have been raking in around $500,000 a year, and they never dreamed that they'd be, quote, broke. This is Jim Hightower saying, broke? Get a grip. We should all be as broke as they are.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour, I'm getting some interesting email. What the heck? Oh, you didn't, Jeff. You didn't. Really?
I found it.
The cause?
It's the Star Wars theme song.
Yeah, I know. We had this conversation before the show because today is Star Wars Day nationally because...
It's May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
And you actually want to own that, right?
I don't want to own it. I'm just saying. I see it... I've seen it littered over Facebook now, so I would pass it along to make sure everyone knew it was Star Wars Day today.
Okay. And
it's trending now, according to Anthony on Twitter, so...
Well, may the 4th be with you, too. 888-552-3595. Bruce Felk joins us this morning. Hey, Bruce, good to have you on the show.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for plugging the rally tomorrow. Hey, I got a quick joke for you. What's the difference between Sarah Palin being vice presidential nominee and Rick Snyder?
I don't know what.
Lipstick.
Ah! Okay.
That's all I got.
I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow. Good luck with Scubic today. Bruce Felk, Michigan Rising. The question you got to ask yourself is which one, but that would be unfair. You know, it's interesting. Michelle Bachmann did an event with Mitt Romney yesterday, as some of you may know. And I start to think about women and the war on women and women in politics, women in Republican politics, women in Democratic politics. And I'm so glad I'm a Democrat. I am just so glad I'm a Democrat. I'll take our women over their women any day of the week. The two most prominent women in Republican politics right now are Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. Imagine if that's what you had to hold on to.
Who would you say the two most prominent Democrat women are? Hillary?
Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, I would think. Two very bright, smart, energetic, visionary women. So, yeah, I'll take our women over theirs. Absolutely. Now, I mean, you know, if we're talking physically, their women are better looking, but I don't care about that stuff. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. By the way, our buddy Tom at UAW Local 174 said if Snyder becomes VP, he will immigrate to Europe. Wow, I can't imagine. Anyway, let's get to this because it's interesting stuff. Charlie LaDuff, I think he's going to make a career out of just hanging out with Bob Vacano because he does it so well, number one. Number two, sadly, he's always got something to talk about that is relevant. Let's get this all set up in our first audio clip here. We're just going to set the scene. Here we go.
My parents are the ones that own the house.
But okay. You paid the property tax and you had no idea you were underpaid.
I told you that they presented whatever the property tax was I'm supposed to pay, I paid.
That's Wayne County Executive Bob Vacano blaming his parents as to why the proper taxes haven't been paid on this house that Bob's been living in for the better part of a decade. But more with Bob later. First, let's do the paperwork. Here's the house where Bob lives. It first belonged to his grandparents. And after Bob's grandpa died in 1990, Bob took the house under his wing. According to the Livonia Assessor's Office, Bob successfully lobbied to keep his grandma's taxes unchanged. Then his grandma died in 2004, and the deed was transferred to Bob's mother. And look who's the lawyer on that deal. Alan Helmkamp, Bob's assistant CEO at Wayne County. Point is, Bob was aware of the taxes. The property transfer to Bob's mom was never reported to the Livonia assessor. If it had, then the taxes would have been calculated on the new taxable value of $117,000 instead of the decades-old value of $70,000. That's at least $1,000 a year more in taxes.
Okay. Now, you know, what, and maybe we'll get to it, I don't know, but we don't really know what he's paying, right? At this point, we don't know what he's paying. But he said it would be at least $1,000 more if properly assessed, which is a fair statement. But here's the deal. The house was inherited by Ficano's parents, not by Ficano himself. But interestingly, according to this next audio, Ficano's parents never lived in the house.
Now, Bob's mom never lived in the house. In fact, the year she inherited it, she moved into a nursing home. It was Bob who moved into the house that year during his divorce, and he paid for the taxes, the same rate his grandpa would have paid. So while property taxes exploded during the real estate bubble of the 2000s, the Ficano family was partying like it was 1989.
Okay, now listen, we've heard this excuse before. The question is, you know, why didn't you realize that you were getting a deal on your taxes? And this is the answer, which is not the first time we've heard this answer.
Who paid the taxes this year, 2012?
I pay the taxes. I give the check to my dad, and he pays the taxes.
So then you did know what you were paying. You didn't realize as the county executive you were woefully underpaying for the taxes on this home.
I was paying what the tax bill was presented, and I was paying.
But if everybody did this in the county, if this kind of stuff went on, where would we be? Could we afford a Cadillac or appointees or severance?
Charlie, I am sure there are a lot of families that when they deed a house over to their family, don't realize all the things they're probably supposed to do. I'm not going to sit in judgment of my parents when my mom was going into the nursing home of what she should have done or what my dad should have done at the time, at that point.
So this is your parents, not you.
My parents are the ones that own the house.
You think the people are going to go for that?
My parents are the one that owns the house. I pay the taxes. I gave the check to my dad. My dad then writes a check to the county and yada, yada, bada, bada, boom, bada, bing.
I like the, there's probably a lot of people that don't know what they're supposed to do when a house changes hands. Not the county executive? I mean,
you would think he might know this stuff. Now, interestingly, his lawyer in the deal, again, is Alan Helmkamp, who I have said in full disclosure is somebody that I met when I was running for Congress, found to be a fairly decent guy. But all that being said, you would think his lawyer would know this, right? I mean, if he doesn't, I mean, I can understand maybe I don't know that, you don't know that, Jeff. Maybe Bob doesn't know that. But you think his lawyer would know that anyway. You live in Wayne County, or if you live in Oakland County, you know, the tax base is a little different from one to the other. This is what Ficano said about that.
How much do you pay in taxes?
$4,500.
Where do you live?
In Oakland County.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's
so I guess Wayne County is a better bargain.
Oh, not so fast, Bob.
Bob and I have had many conversations about that, and basically it's, you know, don't keep dragging us into your fight. After you showed me the numbers, you would think that with Charlie the Duff on your that you would go out of your way to mend all these things, fix all these things, and put them right with the Lord.
Me?
Not quite sure what the hell that was all about, Jeff. What was that all about? What was Patterson referring to?
I don't know what Patterson was talking. I mean, obviously the difference in what Charlie's paying and what Ficano's paying is because Ficano hasn't reassessed the house. I don't know that there is a better deal.
Thank you. And that's number one. So I have no idea. You know, this is why we need to elect Kevin Holley. And I'm going to sound like an ad. This is why we need to elect Kevin Holley as the executive in Oakland County, which is actually true. All right. Well, listen, it got a little ugly. Some name calling took place. And listen, if I'm Bob Ficano, I'm probably wanting to get rid of Charlie the Duff in my life. Wouldn't you be, Jeff? I mean, at some level, wouldn't you be going, you know, if you show up for work and there's the Duff, wouldn't you kind of go, oh, sweet God, not again?
Or at this point, you're just expecting him, like, at every turn because you're so used to seeing him.
Yeah,
around.
Maybe they should just start hanging out together. Anyway, a little name-calling happened, and this is what they said.
Meanwhile, back at the Guardian building, Bob was starting to lose his composure. He was blaming me like I'd done something wrong.
Because they're immigrants.
No.
And they're over here in this country, and maybe they don't know what all the laws are and everything else. You're taking a cheap shot at them.
Everybody's an immigrant.
You can say what you want, but they're immigrants, and yeah, they don't understand English very well, and my mother goes into a nursing home, and you're doing this to her.
Yeah, no, I don't think you should call me a xenophobe.
You can say what you want,
right?
Okay,
mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what you're doing.
What am I doing?
If you're going to call me a xenophobe, then my voice is going to go up.
Why are you calling me a xenophobe? I'm asking you, as the main man of this broken county, why you're not paying the taxes you should be paying.
You're saying that my parents
didn't know what they were doing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that's Alan Helmkamp. So he works for you.
He drafted it. He's been an attorney for him for years.
Mm-hmm. You called up many years asking for your grandmother's tax.
I'm sorry, are we on the record or off the record right now?
Well, everything's on with me. Call me a xenophobe. That's outrageous.
I hate people from other places.
Everybody from Detroit is an immigrant.
Charlie, all I'm saying is people that...
Well, you should apologize to me. That's outrageous.
No, I'm not going to apologize to you.
Okay, that's outrageous.
And that's the way it is. Charlie LaDuff, Fox 2 News.
What's a xenophobe, Bob Vacano asked Charlie LaDuff. I bet you he knows what one is now, don't you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I would assume so. I like how he's like, well, you're blaming my parents. He's actually attacking you, not your parents.
Yeah, Again, listen, I don't know what Bob Vacano expects at this point. There's a natural progression to these things, and this is, I guess, part of that progression. No one's getting sick of this story, by the way, Mr. Vacano, so you might as well just either settle in and get used to it, resign and start putting your life back together somewhere else, because I don't think you have much of a shot of making it work here in Southeast Michigan. But don't go too far, because I think you got some splaining to do to the authorities. Just saying. All right, a quick break. We'll come back. Much more to get to on the other side. We'll take a look at some national stuff. And, of course, you're welcome to join us. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. We'll be back.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Tribbiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiano.
Elizabeth Weidner joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. First Word.
First Thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour on this Friday program. This is First Shift. Pleasure to be with you. Ron Paul is the only one that hasn't suspended his campaign, I think, at this point. If I'm recalling this correctly, Newt Gingrich did day before yesterday, Santorum a couple weeks ago, and the others, of course, months ago. So where does Ron Paul stand on Mitt Romney now that he is the presumptive Republican presidential nominee? Well, let's let Ron Paul tell us in his own words.
Would you disagree then with Giuliani and others when they say that there's no doubt that Mitt Romney would be a better president than Barack Obama?
Yeah, I think marginally so. It isn't so much that he wouldn't have better ideas and want to do it, but it's that it never seems to change anything. You know, the area where I could concede some, I think Romney would probably be better on the tax issue. But was George Bush Sr. better on the tax issue? You know, here we say, you know, read my lips. And this is why the young people are so disenchanted. They've heard that for so long, and they know the history. They don't trust the politicians. They don't believe what they're being told. And this is why a whole generation is skeptical of both Republicans and the Democrats. And they don't buy into this that it's all Obama's fault, even though they're not cheering Obama on because they don't like his attack on civil liberties and they don't like the wars that he has pursued.
Interesting perspective. He called him, Jeff, did you notice, Romney? Not Romney, he said Romney.
No, I didn't catch on.
Yeah, he said Romney. Interesting. Ron Paul is just such an odd guy. I don't think that we have Ron Paul lovers in our audience. We may. I mean, there may be a few, but I've noticed, and I know I go to a lot more, public political stuff, Jeff, than you do, but the Ron Paul people are rabidly pro Ron Paul. I mean, rabidly pro Ron Paul, and he has no problem raising money. In fact, I don't know this to be a fact, and we could easily find this out, but I think Ron Paul has probably raised more money than Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum, and maybe more than both of them combined, to be honest with you.
Well, he's out there. He's definitely not, you know, there's sometimes you can say this guy or this person sounds like that person. They have the similar ideas, but they're tweaked a little bit. His are much different.
Yeah, that would be one way to put it. All right, then another piece of sound, and then we'll clean up this hour. President spoke yesterday about the Dream Act. Now, for those of you that don't know what the Dream Act is, we're actually going to do some work on this show next week on this idea that the immigrants are an important part of what we are. I want to go back to this idea. You've heard me say it before. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. We are still the land of opportunity. The United States of America is still where everybody would rather live for profoundly good reasons, as most of us know. But that doesn't mean that there isn't work to be done. This is what the president had to say yesterday.
More importantly, victories for America. We could not have come this far without you. Of course, there's still plenty of unfinished business, including fixing our broken immigration system. And it's long past the time that we unleash the promise of all our young people and make the Dream Act a reality. A lot of you remember over a year ago, we brought the Dream Act to a vote in Congress, thanks to the hard work of many of you, and it passed the House. And a majority of votes in the Senate. Unfortunately, we had some on the other side of the aisle that got together and blocked it, but we didn't come this far just to let partisan politics stand in our way. So we're going to keep fighting for this common sense reform, not just because hundreds of thousands of talented young students depended on it, but because ultimately America depends on it. No is not an option. I want to sign the Dream Act into law. I've got the pens all ready. I'm willing to work with anybody who's serious to get this done and to achieve bipartisan comprehensive immigration reform that solves this challenge.
Okay. How do Republicans feel? Do we really need to answer that question? I think we know how the Republicans feel on this issue. We're going to continue to follow it. And again, next week we're going to do some work on immigrants here in the state of Michigan. And it's going to be one of those rare occurrences where our governor, although he and I don't agree on much, and I mean we don't agree on much at all, one of the things we do agree on is that perhaps one of the ways that we can infuse new blood into the state, new opportunities for others, is to welcome more immigrants into the cities and townships that surround us. I posted yesterday to Facebook a story that I found on MLive.com that was titled, "The Michigan Legislative Prayer Caucus is Official. See which lawmakers are part of it." And let me just read the very beginning of this article. It says, "About 30 state lawmakers gathered at the Capitol Rotunda Wednesday afternoon to declare their support for the Michigan Legislative Prayer Caucus. The creation of the caucus has come concerned about its mission to promote Judeo-Christian principles, even though supporters say it's non-secular and all lawmakers are welcome to join," which is, of course, its first lie. At the kickoff event, legislators shared Bible verses and quotes from American forefathers on the importance of religion. They closed by singing "God Bless America," and to think I missed that. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly read a verse from the Book of Romans, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men." Yeah, okay. Here's my problem. There's nothing non-secular about this. It's quite secular. It's about Christianity, which is exclusive of other religions. The list of, there are 38 lawmakers, by the way. The list is interesting. One Democrat in the House, one Democrat in the Senate have joined this prayer caucus, or whatever the heck it's called. Yeah, prayer caucus. Is it appropriate? Now I got to tell you, the response on Facebook has not been kind to these folks, and people don't have a problem with the religious aspect of people's lives. That's not the issue. The issue is, do they belong together? Do we need more prayer for people? You know, being more public about their faith as legislators, is that something that's important? Is it an all-inclusive? And I think they clearly showed that they're not an all-inclusive group. I would imagine that they're going to get more attention than perhaps they planned on. I know I'm going to be paying attention to it, only because I find it both interesting and just this side of weird. I was going to say insulting, but I'm not really insulted by it. But I do. This does weird me out a little bit. A quick break for the top of the hour. Summer Minnick, when we continue to talk about the the personal property tax repeal. They've got a campaign going on that you need to know about. Kevin Holley, Occupy Detroit, and you. Let's take the break and we'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There are no accidents to report, but we do have traffic lights out on 8 Mile in both directions at Mound Road and Ryan Road. We got a malfunctioning traffic signal on Telegraph in both directions at McNichols, and on Gratiot, both directions at 10 Mile, traffic lights are out. So you want to use caution in all of those areas. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News, I'm Chris Jansing. More jobs, but how many? Private economists say April was a better month for job creation, but probably not enough to lower the jobless rate. CNBC's Maria Bartiromo says Wall Street is bracing for the official figures.
Analysts are expecting job creation of 168,000 new jobs created in the last month, and that will likely move this market.
Facebook says its shares will be modestly priced when the social media giant delivers its initial public offering between $28 and $35 a share. There may be an opening in the diplomatic standoff between China and the U.S. over dissident Chen Guangcheng. Beijing now says Chen can apply to study abroad. Chen has been demanding that he and his family be allowed to go to the U.S. And nice tat, Fido. The latest in upscale pet grooming? Temporary tattoos for dogs by airbrushing their fur. Your pooch could be trendy, but according to PETA, dyeing a pet's fur can endanger its life. This is NBC News Radio. Racing fans, get mint juleps ready. Tomorrow's the 138th running of the grandest horse race of them all, the Kentucky Derby. NBC's Tracy Potts at Churchill Downs.
The parades, the parties, all leading up to tomorrow's race. 165,000 people packed Churchill Downs last year, betting $165 million on this race.
Bodemeister's the fave at 4-1 odds. You can watch it on NBC. Omega may be the alpha of nutritional supplements. Omega-3 fatty acids credited with improving heart and vascular health. Now a study says omega-3s can lower levels of a protein linked to Alzheimer's disease. Prescription? Eat plenty of fish, nuts, and other foods high in omega-3s. And bad is good again for Pepsi. The soft drink giant celebrating the 25th anniversary of Michael Jackson's multi-platinum Bad album with a new ad campaign featuring the late King of Pop. His silhouette? Plastered on a billion cans of Pepsi. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That
yes.
means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 5/31/12.
Yahoo now says it will take a closer look at the academic background of its boss. This comes after an activist shareholder accused Yahoo CEO Scott Thompson of embellishing his college credentials. Thompson earned a bachelor's degree in accounting from Stonehill College in Massachusetts. His resume also says he earned a computer science degree. Stock markets in Japan closed today for Greenery Day. European markets are sliding. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 1 point. NASDAQ futures up 4. Dow futures up 3. There will always be the Big Mac and the Egg McMuffin, but some new items at McDonald's will not be around very long, and that's by design. Its new Cherry Berry Chiller drink and Banana Blueberry Nut Oatmeal are only around for summer, and AP reports the trend in which items last only a few months will grow exponentially in years to come. McDonald's is trying to create buzz and attract customers who usually would stay away from the Golden Arches. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Whoa!
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Sam Worthington is the young star of Avatar. He's now in a string of blockbuster films with more to come. But what interests me about Sam's career is his early flop. As a young man, Sam failed at a prestigious dramatic academy. Frustrated, his father sent him on a one-way trip, telling him to work his way home. A few years later, while doing construction, Sam earned a second chance at another acting school, and film success followed. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Our setbacks are often of our own making, but Sam Worthington reminds us that the only guarantee of permanent failure is when we cease to try in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit our daily...
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 4th day of May, 2012. And Jeff gave us the groaner of the morning. Although he's just the messenger, so I can't really make him wear it. May the 4th be with you, right, Jeff? That's what it was?
Happy Star Wars Day.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm so glad we do politics. Truly, I am, because I can't imagine what it would be like to live in the world of general topic radio. I think I have just got a taste of it there. But I'm happy to say we've got much more serious issues to get into. We will visit with Shannon McEvely a little bit later on in this hour. Will be talking to us about the upcoming caucuses tomorrow. So for those of you that are politically inclined in that regard, we'll get that base covered. At the bottom of this hour, Kevin Holley will be joining us, who I hope is the next executive in Oakland County. But before we get to that, as many of you know, we have been covering quite heavily over the last few weeks the personal property tax debate. And it's now moved from debate to legislation. Now, if you live in a municipality, as we all do, there's an organization out there called the Michigan Municipal League. And what they basically do, and if I get it wrong, my next guest will correct me, they are the voice for communities all over the state of Michigan. They do a lot of advocacy work, both at the legislative level and many other levels of state government. They are... truly, and in many cases, the lobbyist for communities that perhaps don't have the personnel to do it. More importantly, they really do have our best interest at heart. They truly do. And I would tell you that they are as nonpartisan as an organization can get, but that doesn't mean that they don't take positions that sometimes lean one way or the other. I think that's fair enough to say. Joining me now is Summer Minnick. Summer is the Director of State Affairs for the Michigan Municipal League, and she's here to talk to us today about the personal property tax and a campaign that's going on within their realm titled Replace, Don't Erase. And Summer, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me on.
It is truly my pleasure. You are a nonpartisan organization. That is correct.
That is correct. In fact, your introduction was perfect.
Okay. Well, then we'll leave it alone. I don't get that often, so I'm just gonna leave that alone. You know, listen. There was a state lawmaker that said this week that Municipalities need to, quote-unquote, stop whining about the personal property tax. I kind of took offense to that, Summer, because I don't know that they're whining. I think that they legitimately have a reason to be concerned about what happens if this legislation takes effect.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, I don't think that we're whining. I think what we're trying to do is point out all of the concerns that legitimate concerns that municipalities have on this legislation, and they are very real. I mean, we have decades of history of the state not following through with statutory promises. And at the end of the day, that's all this package is they're taking away a stream of revenue at the local level. It's locally collected, spent locally. It never leaves the community. And saying, well, we're going to eliminate that, and then, and we think future legislators will give money back to you. And they can't legally, the Constitution prohibits any legislature from binding the hands of a future legislature. So they can't commit that to us. They can just say their intent is for future legislators to replace that revenue.
And that really is problematic. Now, we have, again, we've explored this issue on the show, Summer, many, many times. We've talked with a variety of people. And the reason that we've done this is because I don't know that the average person, I think they do now that they listen to the show, they now understand the reality of what the personal property tax is and what it does. And you said it is something that is collected locally and stays locally. It doesn't cost, listen, if you live in Hamtramck, that has nothing to do with those that live in Auburn Hills. This is a local issue. But it is covered by the same state regulation, and so that's why this becomes a larger issue. Now, let's compound things a little bit here, Summer, and talk about the ongoing tax cuts that have been the culture in Lansing the last year and a half or so. And we have to ask ourselves this question: can municipalities? Because this would be a tax cut to businesses, but it would also be a revenue cut to municipalities. Can municipalities have any more financial damage done to them? I'm going back to Harper Woods constantly now because their fire department's down to one person per shift. This is a reality that we need to pay attention to.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, the irony is part of the reason why a lot of our communities are in this situation is because of cuts to revenue sharing that we've seen. So it's because of those sort of broken promises from the legislature that have gotten us, in some extent, to where we are today. There's really two issues. There's revenue sharing cuts, and then there's, of course, the decline in property values, which is something a little bit different. But those two factors combined over the last 10 years have really put the strain on local units of government. I mean, we have communities that are operating at between a third less to 50% less of a budget compared to where they were 10 years ago. And in many cases, they haven't seen a reduction in residents or businesses to that extent. So they are trying to maintain a core level of services to roughly the same population. And it's becoming increasingly difficult. And so when you add this on top of it, it's very serious. And in particular, you said you've been talking about it quite a bit, so I'm sure this whole issue has been explored. But part of the problem with getting rid of PPT, and we're not opposed, let me say for the record, we are not opposed to getting rid of it. Our issue is the revenue and making sure we have a local, stable, guaranteed revenue stream that we can rely on to provide services. But part of the problem with PPT is that it's so different from community to community. So, you know, you might have a situation where in eCourse, I believe it's over 50% of their taxable value. That's astronomical. I mean, that's huge. Whereas you take a Huntington Woods that doesn't have that industry or that, you know, base, it may not be that much. And so what you have happen is you will have some communities that are absolutely, you know, would be crushed if this was eliminated and not replaced. And then you have some that, you know, it would be maybe 2% of their taxable value or something like that. So it's very complicated.
It is. And again, I don't know that I've been a small businessman. I've paid personal property tax. No one likes to pay taxes, Summer, but we know the reality is. We've had this conversation, and you and I need to have it now. Listen, if we want, you use a great phrase, core services. If we want core services in our community, in fact, my son and I were sitting in the living room the other day, and the street sweeper came by, and he said, oh, I didn't know we had that. I live in Dearborn Heights, and we didn't know that we had that service here in Dearborn Heights. He just never seen the street sweeper go by before. Well, you know, that's paid for with our taxes. I'm glad that we have a street sweeper that comes by once a week. Summer, it's not a big deal, but I would notice it more if it weren't there, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think, that's it should be part of the debate right now. And unfortunately, I think there's an absence of, right now, the focus on this issue is just the impact on business. And I'm not going to argue that it wouldn't be helpful for business. That's not the point. The point is, we all know, everybody knows, taxes, when you're looking at when businesses grow and where they choose to locate, is a factor of many. But almost every study and every report shows it's not number one. And so all we're doing is focusing on that component. And what we're not focusing on is how can we grow our economy in other ways. And all these other states and regions that are succeeding have a base of talented employees. They're retaining college graduates. They have invested in cultural amenities. They've invested in multimodal transportation, parks and recreation. These are the type of amenities and entities that college graduates and retirees and are looking for. And so they're not going to choose to be in communities that don't have those things. So, you know, our point is, while yes, we should definitely focus on a business environment, we also can't lose sight of, if we have crumbling communities and can't pave our roads and fix the potholes and plow the snow, no one's going to want to be here anyway. And so there's a balance. There's an absolute balance of priorities if we want to move our economy forward. And creating communities that have vibrant places is absolutely essential to that. We see it all over the world.
No question. Listen, we're going to need to take a break here in just a minute. Is there any chance I can get you to stay with us a little longer?
Yes.
Good. We've got a lot more to get to, and I don't want to end the conversation here. And that music tells me that we've got to take the break, so we're going to do that. Summer Minnick is with us. She is with the Michigan Municipal League. By the way, you're going to find them online at mml.org, and you're going to find more information about the Replace, Don't Erase campaign there, which we're going to talk about more on the other side. Everybody, stay right where you're at. This is an important and necessary and, I think, fascinating conversation. So stay where you're at. We'll come back and get to more of this right after we take a quick break.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
We got our first accident of the morning, so on 94 westbound at the 696 11 Mile Road exit that has your right lane blocked. And on 8 Mile, both directions at Mound Road and Ryan Road, traffic lights are out. Got malfunctioning traffic signals on Telegraph, both directions at McNichols, and Gratiot, both directions at 10 Mile. Traffic lights are out there also. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people, skills, and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tripiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tripiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tripiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Tripiano.
And welcome back indeed. I want to remind you that my guest is Summer Minnick. She is the State Affairs Director for the Michigan Municipal League. I said, correctly had said, you can find them online at mml.org. We'll, of course, post it to our Facebook page if Jeff hasn't already done that. They have a campaign going on titled Replace, Don't Erase. And Summer, let's quickly go there before I want to share a story with you. But what is the Replace, Don't Erase campaign all about?
Well, it's a coalition of organizations that represent public service providers all around the state. So it's municipalities, counties, schools, libraries, public safety groups, and we're all in this to try to get the word out of what, you know, how important these services are, spread the message that while we're not opposing eliminating this tax, our concern is replacement revenue. And we've got to make sure that the entities who receive this local revenue stream aren't sort of hung out to dry by the whims of the future legislators.
There have been, Summer, as you know, a lot of media surrounding this story, both pro and con. And in one of the articles that I read about a month ago told the story of a company that was not buying equipment because they were waiting for new legislation to be passed that would, of course, favor them if the personal property tax went away. So they thought, well, listen, if we're going to make this investment, we might as well wait until, and I understand the theory here, until the new law passes, and that way we don't have to pay taxes on it, right? I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
There's a little journalist in me. So, you know, I'm mostly an activist, but there's a little journalist in me. I called this company. This article came out on a Saturday. I called this company the following Monday, and I said, hey, told them who I was, and said, hey, listen, I'm not looking to get you on the air, and I won't, you know, and I'm not going to identify the company here. And they're not even in Southeast Michigan, by the way. And I asked them if indeed they had plans to buy this equipment. Not only did they have plans to buy it, they'd already placed the order, because the reality is their business is picking up to the point where it's going to cost them money not to have it. And so the cost of the personal property tax on it is negligible in comparison to what they'll make for having this equipment. And we need to be careful that we don't buy into everything those that are looking to eliminate the personal property tax are trying to sell us. Because the reality is, if I own a business, a restaurant, as I have, and I need to buy a new grill, I'm going to buy the grill. I need to buy it in order to do my business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's certainly a good point. You know, I'm not a business owner, so it's more difficult for me to make that claim. But I think, you know, from our perspective, when I talk to our members, mayors, city managers, council members, you know, one of the things they tell me that they hear from the businesses in their communities is, you know, it's not so much the amount that they pay, it's just sort of the nuisance of personal property tax, because it does have to be filed every year. It's not automatic like real personal property tax, but there's less complaining about actually paying the revenue. And, you know, I think that speaks again to, okay, is there a better way to do this than to just get rid of the whole thing and subject communities, schools, libraries to these sort of cuts that we could be facing if we don't get replacement revenue.
Well, and so that is the key. So let's talk a little bit about what we know with regard to what the legislature is proposing to do. What do we know at this point, Summer?
Well, the package of bills reference, there's eight of them, and seven of them reference essentially how the tax would be eliminated over time. Immediately, all parcels are all businesses that pay or have equipment under essentially $80,000. It's $40,000 of taxable value, but essentially $80,000 worth of stuff would be exempt immediately. And there is no reimbursement for that. And then what we have is in 2016, most of the industrial personal property, manufacturing personal property, would phase out over the next 6 years. So we would take a big hit immediately, and then it would, you know, the rest would sort of trickle out over the next 6 years. And that's why, you know, when we talk about 2016 and future legislators, that's why is in the package of bills, these they could pass the exemptions now, and indeed, if the legislature did pass these bills, the tax would go away as provided in the law, but no appropriation in the one bill that references, you know, entities being, you know, refunded for this lost revenue. It doesn't start until 2016, which means that legislature is the one that will decide. So I sort of reference that bill as like it's a legislative TBD, really. It's a placeholder. It really isn't worth anything. And I don't mean to be condescending, but the reality is in 2016, if this were to pass, that legislature is the one that will decide whether or not we get any replacement revenue and how. So that bill doesn't really mean anything, and we can't count on that. And more importantly than we, Wall Street can't count on that. And that's another point that I want to make. I mean, when we look at cities, you know, PPT goes into our general fund, and we use that money to bond for the capital projects, infrastructure, road building, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that stuff that we, you know, Wall Street has to buy our bonds. And so the question is, will we be able to do the type of bond work and be in with an annual appropriation? And the answer is no. I mean, we already know that. We've already had S&P calling some communities in the state to ask them what they would do in the event that this goes through, because so that's a signal that, you know, they aren't going to look at that funding stream as a secure way for us to pay back that debt. And so that's a real concern for us, is how much will it limit our ability to do those capital projects?
Well, you know, it's so critical as we move forward. Summer, I quickly, because we're going to run out of time here, but we see, and I'm sure we will this November, if we don't see it during the primary elections, more Headley overrides. Mm-hmm. Communities all over the state are you know, and I've got to tell you, I've been so pleasantly surprised by how communities are coming together and saying, hey, listen, no, the last thing we really want to do is pay more taxes, but we like cops and we like firemen, and we actually like having a city council that doesn't have to argue at every meeting. So yeah, if it means that we've got to pay an extra $200 a year, we're going to do it. That's great, but we can't keep doing that, because at some point, and it's probably already happening in some communities, we're just, you know, these are dead end roads that ultimately don't solve the larger problem here, and we need to be careful. And again, the legislature, I realize that they do have to go home to these same communities. I just don't think they understand that if they start, eliminating all this stuff and don't find a way to replace it, that the communities they're coming back to aren't going to welcome them, and they need to be careful. Summer, we're just out of time. I'm sure we'll be visiting again.
Great. My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
You bet. Again, folks, MML.org. We've got it posted to the Facebook page. We've got to take a break. Our next Oakland County Executive, Kevin Hawley, on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Just watching one accident, saw 696 westbound at Telegraph that has your left lane blocked. And don't forget, we got lots of traffic light problems, like on Gratiot, both directions at 10 mile, the lights are out. Telegraph, both directions at McNichols, they're malfunctioning, and they're out on 8 mile in both directions at Mound Road and Ryan Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Show me what democracy looks like! Show me what democracy looks like!
The Wisconsin uprising is strong and energized to oust Governor Scott Walker in the June 5th election. There will be a primary May 8th to determine the Democratic candidate in the June 5th recall. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett is in a dead heat with Walker. Barrett also has a strong lead over his primary challengers in the polls. But former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk has strong union backing. It was Walker's attack on public worker collective bargaining that sparked this recall, but there are other strong issues. Jobs, education, and health care among them. Walker is the first Wisconsin governor to create a criminal legal defense fund and has run up more than $100,000 in criminal defense fees. It's possible he could eventually be charged in the ongoing John Doe criminal investigation that so far has charged five of his aides with crimes. Here are some Wisconsinites recorded at the March 2012 Reclaim Wisconsin rally.
It's about union rights, it's about health care, and it's about education for our kids.
An injury to one is an injury to all. We're not laying down for this.
It's a year ago that I was sleeping in this Capitol, and we had occupied our Capitol in protest over the illegal attempt to pass a bill to end 50 years of our bargaining rights.
I'm out here today to fight an institution that is no longer serving the people. It is only serving the interests of the top 1% richest people, taking the money from the working class and giving it to the corporations.
A senior official from Singapore told the Wall Street Journal in late April that talks around the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership were about 75% complete. Jesse Russell reports.
Over 10 days in mid-May, a summit in Texas will be making the push to complete those talks. The partnership is a free trade agreement that would include countries within or bordering the Pacific Ocean. Some of the concerns that critics of the agreement have include overly restrictive intellectual property rights language and the possibility that the agreement could hinder access to affordable medicine for developing countries. To bring attention to the summit, a coalition of groups will be marching and rallying in Addison, Texas. Dave Cortez is with Occupy Austin.
We see this as just another vehicle to expand corporate power.
And it comes at a good time because we do see corporate corruption, corporate dominance as a unifying factor between grassroots movements like Occupy, like the labor movement, and like the environmental movement.
One concern that isn't often discussed is the impact the agreement will have on increased fracking. Cortez explained.
Provisions in TPP will open the floodgate for rapid expansion of fracking for natural gas, increased exports of liquefied natural gas, or LNG, to TPP countries, and restrict environmental scoping, permitting, and oversight for the domestic production of natural gas.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Now, welcome back. It's 35 minutes after the hour. Looking forward to this segment of all week. Some full disclosure. My next guest is Kevin Holley, who, as many of you know, listened to the show. I had him on, 6 weeks ago. He's running against Brooks Patterson in Oakland County. I am going to work very hard to get Kevin Holley elected. He'll be on this show a lot. I'm going to volunteer some time to his campaign because I believe that it's time for change in Oakland County. I happen to believe Kevin's the right guy. I spoke at the North Oakland County Democratic Club about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and told them that we finally have a candidate that can beat Brooks. And so they need to support him, which they told me they would, but both financially and in terms of people, volunteers. We need volunteers. So I am happy to welcome back one of many times, Kevin Holley, who, as I said earlier on the show, will be the next Oakland County executive. Kevin, a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You know, as you know, just 2 days ago, Brooks Patterson announced that he was going to run for re-election. I just want your response to that.
Well, I guess we all kind of expected it. 20 years is a very long time, and actually it's 36 years if you count his role in the prosecutor's office. And, you know, after 36 years, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, you're not getting a different perspective on what we need to do about Oakland County. So I just think without regard to, you know, who's his opponent, I think change is required just for some fresh thinking.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think over the course of my radio career, there was one thing that Brooks and I agreed on, and that was wireless Oakland. I thought it was a great idea when he first announced it. It was, in fact, at the Mackinac Policy Conference some years back. Probably, it might have even been about, Kevin, 10 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was a great idea. But that's probably the only thing that Brooks and I have ever really agreed on. Although I'm not an Oakland County resident, I used to be. I used to own a couple restaurants in Oakland County. I used to live in Oakland County. I grew up in Oakland County. So I have a lot of love for Oakland County, but I'm concerned. Sometimes you've got to go beyond the superficial. In fact, the very slanted article by this quote-unquote journalist in the Oakland Press, and I say quote-unquote journalist because there's no objectivity to this piece that was written, says that, and I'll quote it, Patterson has managed to retain Oakland County's AAA bond rating despite job losses and foreclosures that have impacted the entire region. Okay, well, that's true. I called it superficial because that doesn't tell an entire story, does it, Kevin?
Well, no, at the base of it, I mean, we've been able to balance our budget because we've got a very positive revenue stream in the county. We have had traditionally one of the richest counties in the country. The reality is we haven't had any critical thinking about what we do with our budget. And, you know, there's been no thought around the investments that we've made. We've kind of been on autopilot. We've been complacent. And, you know, you look at the job loss situation, what I found really intriguing, you know, over the 10-year period from 2000 to 2010, we lost 175,000 jobs in the county. In 2011, the nation bounced back. We added 23,000 jobs in Oakland County, you know, a far cry from the 175,000 we lost. But the reality is if you look at the underlying statistics under those jobs, they're all auto industry related. So we remain undiversified in the county. We just go with the ebbs and flows of the auto industry. It's an important industry, but if we rely on that, you know, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to be stagnant.
You know, let's talk a little bit, if we could, about the budget. Because, again, you know, that's something that Brooks will go out and say, hey, listen, I've balanced this budget, and I'm a real visionary. And, you know, a couple of years out, I know exactly what I want to do. And, you know, he talks with that swagger, and it all sounds really great. But, Kevin, when we break all that down, when we start asking questions, which, by the way, as a candidate is something you had to do. And I want to make this point, Kevin Holley. You didn't just say, hey, this is a job I think would be cool to have. You started analyzing what was happening fiscally in the county that you live in, right? I'm assuming you did that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you look at the budget in 1999, and, hey, your Libertarians and Tea Party listeners should appreciate and be looking at this stuff, too. Look at the budget in 1999. We spent approximately $300 million in the county out of the general fund budget. By 2008, those expenditures were up to $295 million to $430 million. That's a 40% increase in our budget from 1999 to 2008, 40%. And the county's been stagnant from a population perspective. So the reality is we haven't found a penny in revenue that we haven't liked to spend. And the problem is we're not thinking about how we're spending it either. So it hasn't been a good investment for the county.
Well, I guess that does bring up a question. If there's no growth in your population, yet you've got a 40% increase in your spending, where's that? Can I ask where that money went?
Well, and that's the question. I mean, and that's what I'm trying to get my hands around this budget. We've had a lot of talk about, you know, you mentioned Wireless Oakland. Well, that project's been on the shelf. It's not completed. It's just been sitting out there. We've made a lot of noise about our Medical Main Street initiative in the county and this Emerging Sectors initiative. But again, if you look at the results from the job pickup for the 1 year we've had some job growth, those investments haven't resulted in jobs. So I really think we need to go back to kind of a zero-based budgeting analysis on this budget, look at every single program, figure out what's working, figure out what's not, figure out where we're getting our return for investment, and kind of reallocate our expenditures.
Well, you know, I want to go back to, because there certainly is a direct correlation, Kevin Holley, between the employment picture in Oakland County and the budget, and certainly the recovery of the auto industry factors greatly into that, as you said. But let's remember why that happened. That happened because we had a Democratic president who was brave enough, showed a little courage and some leadership in saying, you know, we need to do something that's unpopular. And it was wildly unpopular at the time to provide these bridge loans to two of the auto companies to make sure that they didn't fail. Kevin, could you imagine where Oakland County would be today without that, just that one piece happening?
Well, and it would be a disaster, especially, again, when you look at the fact where the increase came from. You can imagine where the downturn would have taken us in Oakland County. And, I mean, the irony is the Republican standard bearer, whom Brooks is supporting, was against this whole plan to save the auto industry. So it doesn't make any sense. He should be protecting the interests of Oakland County. It's just in a situation that I think people find astounding.
Well, there's no question that that's true. Let's talk a little bit about, I said that I was at the North Oakland County Democratic Club, and they told me that you'd already been there to talk to them, which was nice to hear. I'd said that, you know, we need to make sure that you end up with some hands and some cash, and you need some help. And in order for you to win, and I do believe that you can win, you need some help to do that. Do we have a website set up that people can go to, donate, volunteer their time?
We do. It's howley4executive.com, Howley, H-O-W-L-E-Y, forexecutive.com. And there are ways on the site to volunteer time and certainly to contribute money. I mean, one of the interesting things this year is that there are so many important races going on with the Supreme Court races, the Democrats trying to take back the House of Representatives. We've got Obama and Stabenow up for re-election. It makes it difficult for a countywide candidate to get some traction and get some attention. And so I've got to work very hard to find those folks that will be committed to this race.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this, and you don't need to even comment on it. I was a candidate for Congress back in 2006. One of the realities of being a candidate is that if you raise money, you get attention. And, Kevin, you and I both know that you need money to beat Brooks. There's no question. Brooks will have his establishment folks writing checks. If they're already doing it, they'll continue to do it. In order for Kevin to be taken seriously, and Kevin is a serious candidate, in fact, Folks, if you go to HollyForExecutive.com, I want you to pay attention to his resume. Look at his credentials, and then you can make some decisions based on that. The last time we had Kevin on the show, we talked, Kevin, almost exclusively about your credentials, and there's a strategic reason for my doing that. I wanted people to understand the seriousness of who you are as an executive. Well, and we'll come back to this. We'll do this again and again and again because I understand the way this works. At the same time, people need to write checks. If it's $5, $10, $20, $30, whatever it is, that sends a clear message to the money people within the Democratic Party, both statewide and nationally. And don't you think for a minute, folks, that the people at the national level aren't keeping their eye on Oakland County, which is a critical piece in this next election cycle. They're paying attention. If we can show Kevin some love financially, I assure you he will get the help he so richly deserves. Brooks can be beat, Kevin, and you wouldn't be running if you didn't think you could win.
Well, that's the bottom line. I mean, I'm a committed citizen. I've always been engaged in the community, but the reality is I jumped into this race because I did the analysis, and the numbers are good in Oakland County if people turn out. So turnout is critical. And also I think if people are watching this race, a lot of independents are looking for a choice, but they just have to know that the race is there.
Well, we do know that, especially over the last three election cycles, Oakland County has gone from being solidly Republican to leaning Democrat. Gary Peters is a great success in that equation, Kevin, as you know. I pay attention to what happens in Oakland County, mostly because I spent the majority of my life in Oakland County. So what happens in Oakland County matters to me. I am still to this day passionately in love with the city of Pontiac, in spite of all of its flaws, all of its blemishes. Kevin, as you and I both know, Pontiac is a beautiful, vibrant city that just needs a little love, and it would be fine.
Absolutely, and it's been a forgotten city, and the Patterson administration should have taken a leadership role. You know, we can talk about Pontiac hopefully in another session, but we've just finished this bond initiative for Pontiac and allowed them to hopefully get some cash in when it is complete. But the reality is we should have done some things 10 or 12 years ago before we got here.
Absolutely. Kevin, we're going to visit again and again and again. I owe you a phone call, which you'll get today or maybe even tomorrow. I've got to go up to Lansing, so I may call you on my way to Lansing. In the meantime, we'll get together privately and get some of the stuff that we've talked about privately done. And in the meantime, you know you're always going to be welcome on the show. Anything we can do to help you win, First Shift is there for you, Kevin.
Look forward to it. Thanks to you and to your listeners.
You bet. Kevin Holly again. Real simple, HollyForExecutive.com. We'll get it on the website. We got to get to the break. Occupy Detroit on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDGW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of a college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden, on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. Indeed, it is that time. And joining me now is Shannon McEvely to talk about really a critical issue. As my good friend Chris Savage at Eclectablog just tweeted, Democracy Weekend. It is Democracy Weekend. Shannon, welcome back to First Shift. As always, a pleasure to have you on the show. And it was wonderful to see you last Saturday.
Yes, that was really, really great. I think we're really lucky in Michigan to have two weekends like this right in a row, personally. And happy Star Wars Day, Tony.
Yes, you may the fourth be with you as well. I can't believe we keep revisiting this. That's just insane. By the way, next weekend we're going to continue with the Michigan Summit. So, I'm sure we'll be talking about that next week. Hey, Shannon, let me ask you, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. Why should these caucuses be important? I mean, the president's going to be the nominee of the party. Michigan, of course, is going to support him. Why do we even need to show up tomorrow?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Tony, and I think a lot of people are probably asking themselves that. Obviously, this is a way to get out and show support for the president and show that, you know, Michigan is ready to support President Obama and get him reelected. That's absolutely one reason to participate in these caucuses. The other reason is that this is yet another opportunity for people to be actively involved in their democracy, which is something that I personally can never get enough of. And even outside of, you know, the Democrats and outside of the president, what this is going to be is an opportunity not only for just like-minded folks to get together and maybe fellowship a little bit, which is something that I'm excited about, but representatives from just about every candidate and, more importantly, in my view, of every ballot initiative, every petition that you could think of, everything that's hopefully going to be coming up this fall will also be present. And this is by no means something, you know, I'm sure a lot of these caucuses, one of the caucus that I'm helping to manage in Northwest Detroit, I'm sure quite a bit of it is going to be a pep rally, which is perfectly fine with me. But there's a lot of other caucuses, I think, that are going to involve a lot of really healthy debate, both about the president and about the election we have coming up, and then also all of these issues. So I think it's a really great opportunity. You know, we've been talking a lot about people taking the time to really participate in the democracy we have. I think this is just another opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think part of what I'm looking forward to, you know, and as active as I am, and I am, as you know, Shannon, I'm not that active in my own community because I am pulled in lots of other directions. And so this, I see tomorrow morning really as an opportunity to go to where I need to go, to my caucus site, and see which neighbors and friends and people I know or wasn't aware that were, you know, politically active. I'm excited just to see how that plays out tomorrow.
Right. And I think that's a really good point, Tony, is that so many people, myself included, like you said, are kind of pulled in so many different directions, so many different events and things like that, that I'm rarely doing things in my own neighborhood and in my own precincts. I live in Hamtramck, and I have to say I'm unfortunately not even that educated on what's going on in Hamtramck on a local level. So I think that that's also a really valuable part of this, is to go and actually meet your neighbors, which is done so rarely these days. And I think that's a really valuable component of this as well.
I'm looking forward. I mean, I truly am looking forward to that aspect of this. And folks, you know, your commitment tomorrow, because people are wondering, okay, well, if you've never been, what it's going to be like. It could be as simple as 5 minutes or much longer. I mean, it's totally up to what you want to do. My understanding is people will start voting at 11 a.m. Is that correct?
Yes. Registration starts at 9, so people can start coming to the caucus sites at 9, registering, and like I said, doing this kind of fellowship thing, getting educated, debate, and then voting starts at 11. And we expect that more than an hour or two.
Right. And so that's that. And then for those of you, because we had called this Democracy Weekend, for those of you that want to come up to the rally at the state capitol tomorrow in support of recalling Governor Snyder, well, just after the caucuses are over, you've got more than enough time to get up to Lansing and participate in that, which is something that I am emceeing. So I would love to see as many of you as we possibly can. You know, and really, if you stop and think about it, Shannon, so tomorrow's May 5th, and we'll do the caucus. Unless you're involved in either a ballot initiative or a campaign, which you all should be involved with something. We just had a candidate on the program, folks. So if you live in Oakland County, there's someone you need to donate some time to, if not some money. But you need to now start picking your issues and getting active, because we have a primary in some of these communities in August, and then, of course, the general election in November. And, Shannon, I was talking to somebody yesterday afternoon, and this time is going to fly by. Election years just fly by.
Oh, absolutely. And especially with the variety of things that we have coming up this year. Like you said, we have a presidential election, we have primaries, and then with all of these ballot initiatives, I think that we're really lucky here in Michigan in that there's something that I think just about everyone can get excited about. And I hope that's the case, and I hope that everyone is able to find at least something coming up in November that they're excited about, and we can see people taking, you know, a more active role in this democracy. We've been talking a lot about direct action and participation, and I'm really hoping that the variety of things we have coming up is going to lead to an increase in that.
Yeah, there's no question that's all of this is stuff you need to consider. By the way, Shannon, as you know, on I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I spoke at the Dearborn Federation of Teachers political roundtable. I said hello to your Aunt Chris, who happens to be the president of the Dearborn Federation of Teachers. What an amazing woman she is.
Oh, she's absolutely phenomenal. It's really, really great. We don't share a last name, so it's obviously not very well known that we're related. But whenever I bring her up to anyone who is familiar with AFT, I hear just really phenomenal things about her as a president, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, no question. That's true. Listen, you have a great weekend. Enjoy your caucus tomorrow, which you happen to be leading. And I will look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Tony. Have a great weekend.
As always, Shannon. Shannon McEvely once again with Occupy Detroit. Let's take a break here. Joe DeSano, when we continue. Stay with us.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Just watching one accident, saw 696 westbound at Telegraph that has your left lane blocked. And don't forget, we got lots of traffic light problems, like on Gratiot, both directions at 10 Mile, the lights are out. Telegraph, both directions at McNichols, they're malfunctioning. And they're out on 8 Mile in both directions at Mound Road and Ryan Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim McLeshevsky. There's a new opening in the diplomatic standoff in China over blind dissident Chen Guangchen. He's demanding that he and his family be allowed to go to the U.S., NBC's Ian Williams in Beijing.
The foreign ministry of China today had a possible solution, saying that Chen Guangchen could apply to study abroad. Now, there was no hint about what that meant for his family.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says progress is being made to give Chen the future he wants. It's the economy in Britain. Voters have shown their anger over the Conservative government's austerity policies and its failure to revive the British economy. Yesterday's local elections are going overwhelmingly to the opposition Labour Party. And 2012 has been a banner year for motorcycle sales, in part because the high price of gas has a lot of folks switching from four wheels to two. BMW among the bike manufacturers posting record first quarter sales. This is NBC News Radio. The new interim police chief of Sanford, Florida, meets with reporters today for the first time since taking over the department at the center of the Trayvon Martin shooting controversy. Richard Myers replaces Chief Bill Lee, who's on administrative leave. Wall Street's bracing for it. The Labor Department issues its April jobs report this hour. CNBC's Jackie DeAngelis with a preview.
Hiring expected to have picked up last month, with forecasts calling for payrolls to rise by 168,000, led by gains in manufacturing. But that's not enough to make a dent in the unemployment rate, which is expected to hold steady at 8.2%.
Real estate agents will tell you this is a great time to buy. Mortgage loan rates now at 60-year lows, 3.84% on 30-year mortgages. And how do you spell CTS in Mandarin? GM is bringing Cadillac on the Chinese market in a big way. And if sales of the luxury cars live up to expectations, the automakers will be building more Caddies in China than here in the U.S. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim McLeshevsky, NBC News Radio.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We don't just put oil on sale. Oh, no. We bring mind-blowing value every day. Right now, buy a 5-plus quart jug of Peak conventional motor oil with filter for just $9.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. That's an oil change special for less than $10. Mind blown. Budget not blown. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Free rebate oil price, $14.99. Void where prohibited.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Four! 2 weeks ahead of Facebook's expected blockbuster initial stock offering, it would do well if it followed the trail blazed by LinkedIn. The social network oriented for business reporting earnings doubled in the first quarter from a year ago as 16 million more people posted their resumes on its site. LinkedIn's stock price is now almost three times what it was at its IPO almost a year ago. Yahoo's board of directors says it will review the claims made by its CEO on his resume. It's after an activist hedge fund with a 6% stake in Yahoo accused Scott Thompson of padding his credentials. Thompson was an accounting major and earned a bachelor's degree from Stonehill College in Massachusetts. The hedge fund says Thompson has embellished by claiming that he also holds a computer science degree. The big reading of April job creation will be released at the bottom of the hour, and stock futures are keeping near break-even ahead of it. S&P futures down a fraction, NASDAQ futures up a fraction. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Sam Worthington is the young star of Avatar. He's now in a string of blockbuster films with more to come. But what interests me about Sam's career is his early flop. As a young man, Sam failed at a prestigious dramatic academy. Frustrated, his father sent him on a one-way trip, telling him to work his way home. A few years later, while doing construction, Sam earned a second chance at another acting school, and film success followed. This is Howard Budd Jr. of Laity Lodge. Our setbacks are often of our own making, but Sam Worthington reminds us that the only guarantee of permanent failure is when we cease to try in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
An idea, a thought, born in Dearborn, the product of hard work, teamwork, pride, put in the hands of the people,
for the people,
and made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
Welcome back. It is the last and final hour of this week, and it is just 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, May 4th, 2012. And I got it, Jeff, I got to ask, did you put Shannon up to that Star Wars reference?
She just knew.
I think she was listening to the show. Did you put her up to that?
I didn't tell her to do it, no.
Right, okay. Did you? You? I can't imagine you actually said to her, "Hey, happy May 4th." Or
no, would I do that? No.
No, you really wouldn't. That would be outside. Okay, I just want to be sure. Well, anyway, because it just keeps popping up in all the crazy places that it shouldn't. So that's that. Being said, let's get to what we need to get to in this hour. We have a lot to talk to Joe about today. There's so much going on, so much important stuff going on. And so we're going to get to that in just a moment. I want to remind you, you're always welcome to join us. I just ask you to stay on topic. So if you'd like to join us while Joe is here, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. I'm still getting some emails from some of you folks about voicing your concern over Stephanie being displaced. Michael Patrick Shields, being on after this program. You can send me an email, but it's only going to do you some good till 9 o'clock, because after that, I'm gone and management's meeting this morning to make that decision. So up till 9 o'clock after that, folks, there's nothing I can do to help you. I'm happy to help as I can, as I have, but, beyond that, nothing that I can do. All right. Let's get some introductions out of the way, and let's get this thing going.
with his razor-sharp precision.
I think Democrats have the ability and track record to eat their own like no one I've ever seen.
First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
I'll just point to my life and career. I've never felt that I've had a mentor. I've never felt that too many doors have been opened up on my behalf. I felt like I've barged the doors open.
Partner in Main Street Strategies, Mr. Joe DeSano.
And joining us now is the Politibomb himself. Joe DeSano joins us, and and Joe, it's kind of unfair because I got a little preview. I listened to the latest podcast and that you and Jake Davidson did, and now I know what we're going to talk about. But I'm going to ask different questions so I can make you say stuff in a different way.
Well, that's very kind of you, and may the fourth be with you.
Sweet Jesus, another one. Okay. Well, listen, I'm glad you got out of your system. It's early in the show. Maybe everybody will forget before it's over. Wow. You know, I said earlier in the show, this now I remember what General Topic Radio was like, because this is the kind of stuff that you would actually talk about. And which is why I'm glad that we do political radio. And thank God we do have a lot to get to today. I almost don't know where to begin. But to say, Joe DeSano, that I think it's important, one of the conversations that we're going to have today, which may actually take a lot of time, so I'm going to start with it, and it's an important conversation to have. Nolan Finley and now Rochelle Riley has written about something that we did a poll question on earlier this week. I'm just going to throw it out there. Will the citizens of Detroit, or would the citizens of Detroit, support a white mayor? Period. That's the end of it. Would you support a white mayor? Would you elect a white mayor? It's a profoundly important question because it actually attacks lots of things. And this isn't just even about race. It's about trust. It's about character. It's about a lot of things. And I think it's a profoundly important question to ask. Your thoughts?
One word answer, yes. Although, many jokesters would say they elected a white mayor when they elected Dennis Archer. But I just find that personally very funny. The answer is absolutely yes. I mean, it would be a unique politician who could pull it off. If the answer is no, then in essence you're saying the city of Detroit is racist. I don't think that's the case. I think a unique politician with a unique set of skills certainly could do it. Is Mike Duggan that guy? Quite possibly. I mean, he checks off a lot of the boxes you would look at to be able to do that. But I also think one of the factors leading in the favor of electing a white mayor is, there's very few African-American politicians, I think, in the city who I think have the ability to lead a major city during a time of change now. And that's really what this is, and have the skills and ability to manage that change. I could probably name on two hands the politicians that I personally would feel are up to the job. Nine of them are probably African-American, and Mike Duggan's probably the other.
Okay. And I don't know that that's an inappropriate assessment, to be honest with you. And I put a lot of thought to this week. When I read Nolan Finley's piece last Sunday morning, and again, 99% of the time, 99.9%, I don't even like reading the guy because he really kind of ruins a Sunday for me, depending on what he's writing about. Seriously, he's pissed me off to the point where it's ruined my Sunday before.
Yeah, I don't read it unless I absolutely have to.
But I read this piece and said, this is an interesting discussion. Then Rochelle Riley, again, I said, Joe, I'm sure you've read her piece this morning, talked about that. And, there's some people some people dream out loud or wish out loud, others don't. I was a little surprised because I have a substantial Detroit audience. A lot of people in the city of Detroit listen to this show, and I would even suggest that the majority of my audience is in the city of Detroit. I get very little response from them to that poll question on Facebook. Now, maybe that says that they're not on Facebook, whatever. I happen to know that's not true because they do respond to other things. But this is not, even when I brought this up early in the week, I'm not getting a lot of response to this question, and I'm not quite sure why.
You want to know? I'll tell you why, because the idea isn't that controversial.
Okay, that very, you know what, very well could be that answer. You're right.
And I think there's a yearning for basic competence that they're not, that community's not being served right now with the current mayor. I mean, he's checked out. This job has proved to be far bigger than he ever expected. You know, Ken Cockrell's time as mayor was so short, but I think he showed a basic competence that I think, you know, would lend me to believe that he should run again at some point. You know, his campaign was fatally flawed in many ways, but I think his time as mayor after the Kilpatrick scandals, I think was pretty darn good, actually. I think there's such a yearning for basic competence and delivery of city services. Folks don't care the race of the person who's the leader. I think they just want good services delivered well.
That, you know, again, these are just very good fundamental base discussions that make sense. And the phones aren't ringing, and it's not like people aren't listening this time of the day. It's not like you haven't gotten calls before. And I think you're right. I think that at some very basic level, this is not controversial. This idea that competent people can lead the city no matter what color their skin is okay with the people of Detroit.
Absolutely. They don't care if it's white, yellow, brown, green, or purple. They just want it done well. And certainly it's not to say that it's a failure on African-American politicians as a whole, because, you know, like I said a few seconds ago, there's probably 9 or 10 of them who I think could really lead the city a couple weeks ago on the show I said that Hanson Clark should run for mayor. So there's certainly, it's not as controversial as the columnists and political elite want you to think it is. And that's what Nolan Finley is, a member of the political elite in this state. Yeah, he's an opinion leader. He is an opinion leader, and I think the public has moved past the opinion leaders on the subject. That's why this doesn't seem all that controversial.
Well,
my bottom line is the public's smarter than the political elite.
Oh, well, I've always believed that to be true. We just happen to do a good job of ignoring the public. And listen, nobody understands that better than you do in what you do. You know, there's a reason, Joe, that you actually market to voters and of course, not to politicians. It's the voters that actually understand what it is that you do. Politicians would ignore you all day long.
Oh, I spend half my time fighting with politicians who are clients. Because their instincts are often wrong. Most politicians I deal with make the fatal flaw of thinking their campaigns are about them. And it's not. It's about what you're going to do for people.
Very good. Very good. All right. We've got a couple callers, but we've got to get to the break here in just a minute. So Charles and Dennis, stay where you're at, and we will come back and get to those calls. Again, my guest is Joe DeSano. He's a partner in Main Street Strategies. Joe, before we get to the break, let me ask, I mentioned Politibomb a little earlier. Tell the audience what that's all about real quickly.
Yeah, Politibomb.com is a podcast I do with a Republican consultant named Jake Davison. You can find us at Politibomb.com. We publish a show every Friday morning. We joust back and forth. There's a lot of tension in the show, but it's a good show. And, you know, if you want to hear what's going on in Lansing beyond what Tony and I talk about, Politibomb.com is the place to go.
Yeah, it really is well done. And we've got, in fact, it's one of the things that we quote-unquote like on the Facebook page, if you want to go do it that way. All right, a quick break here. Joe DeSano's with us. Charles, Dennis, you're up next. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. White Mare in Detroit? Well, we're going to get to that when we come back.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There are no accidents to report, but we do have heavy traffic on eastbound 696 between Orchard Lake Road and Inkster Road. Still got those traffic lights out on Gratiot both directions at 10 Mile. They're also out on 8 Mile in both directions at Mound and Ryan Roads. But the traffic lights are working again on Telegraph at McNichols in both directions. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Powell and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, themichigansummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony Trupiano. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 22 minutes after the hour. A pleasure to be with you on this May 4th. Yes, may the 4th be with you. Joe DeSano is my guest. He is a partner in Main Street Strategies with an incredible guy by the name of Todd Cook. I saw Todd Saturday night, Joe, at the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner. I had a chance to speak with him, if only briefly, but it's always good to see him. He's much taller in person.
Yes, he is such a handsome, tall gentleman. Tall and dark.
Tall and dark and handsome, absolutely. All right, we're going to go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Charles in Detroit, thank you for waiting. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, on this late mayor of Detroit, the way it is proposed and the person who proposes it, Nolan Findlay, is a typical white supremacist. Slander of Detroit's black political leadership. I mean, Detroit doesn't need a white mayor to get services delivered. Coleman Young, Archer, Kilpatrick, Cockrell, all did as good a job as the average American mayor in delivering services. I mean, the question is a white mayor ready for Detroit, i.e. the Detroit that has been under economic blockade by Wall Street and the 1% for about the last 40 years. That's the underlying problem, cause of fiscal problems. It's fiscal problems now with the cuts, forced cuts, are affecting services. So is a white mayor going to get money in here? That's the solution.
All right. Would you vote, Charles, would you vote for a white mayor?
Well, I vote for Marianne Mahaffey. It would have to be, you know, they would have to be like Marianne Mahaffey.
Okay. Well, all right. Joe, you want to comment on what Charles said?
And there are plenty of black people who could competently deliver services as well as us. Now, that's not, there are probably 100.
Well, there's no question that's true. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just think this conversation, when it gets started by a guy like Nolan Finley, the undercurrent there, and frankly, if you go back and read the column, I'm not sure it's not all that much of an undercurrent, is his thought is you need a white savior, and that's just absurd.
There is a
racist element that only a white savior can fix the city of Detroit, and that's absurd on its face.
Yeah, no question. I mean, listen, there's no question. That's true. We're going to go to the next caller. Again, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Dennis in Canton's on the line. Dennis, you're on the air with Joe DeSano.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to share a quick anecdote about why I'm doubtful that Detroit would embrace a white mayor. A couple years back, I got hired into a position to manage about 55 African-American people at different levels. Their current at the time and all previous management was all African American. These are all people from Detroit. They were always led by sort of an abusive, management environment, broken down equipment, difficult working conditions, sexual harassment, things that happened. When I came in, I was going to try and clean things up. I started getting equipment fixed and repaired and things working, started being more proactive about preventing things like sexual harassment, treating people better, and so on. And the whole time I was doing that, they were circulating a petition that almost all of them signed saying that I needed to be replaced with a white manager because I need to be replaced with a black manager because a white manager does not understand the challenges and difficulties of black people. And I just wonder if that sentiment, there's a lot more of that sentiment going on than anyone realizes. So... I'm going to go ahead and get off the phone.
And Dennis, I appreciate that perspective, Joe. I don't think what Dennis said is inappropriate by any measure, and certainly that needs to be part of the dialogue.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing: if a white mayor was elected, race would certainly be part of the dialogue. You would have there's a hardcore group of black nationalist, but a guy like Kwame Kenyatta, who was a pretty darn good public servant, in my opinion, who I don't think would vote for a black mayor of the city of Detroit under any circumstances. But you don't have to get elected mayor with 100% of the vote.
No, you don't.
You need a majority.
You just need a majority. 50 plus one. That's it. That's all it takes. No question. Well, I want to thank, you know, Dennis and Charles, both of them, for their response. So now, Joe, I need to take care of some housekeeping here, but I got to ask you a question before we do this. I know Mother's Day is important to you because you've got a wife who's a great mom, and you've got a mom who I know is a great mom because she's in my life now, too, and I appreciate her. I assume you're going to take care of both of them, right?
I don't wait for Mother's Day to do it.
Yeah, you know, that's what I love about you. And he's right. He doesn't wait for Mother's Day to do it. Well, let me remind my audience, Joe, that for those of you that do wait. I don't want you to wait too long. Now, Mother's Day is May 13th, but ProFlowers.com has a deal for you. So let me share this with you because they're only offering this to my listening audience. If you go to ProFlowers.com, I want you to click on the microphone that's at the top of the website and type in Tony T, T-O-N-Y-T. What will that get you? Well, it'll get you one hell of a deal. A dozen rainbow-colored roses and a free vase. And a free vase. Now, if you call or you get on there today and do that, you can say when you want this stuff delivered. And, folks, I'm telling you, for $19.99, you can take care of mom and wife and everybody else in your life. So I'm asking you.
That's a hell of a deal.
It is a hell of a deal, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
Now, if mom's got a green thumb and she likes to actually, you know, plant stuff, they've got a potted plant of pink roses, which are beautiful, for $10 more. So just go to ProFlowers.com. And this is only good, by the way, until midnight tonight. The deals change next week. So next week we got different stuff for you. This is what you need to take care of today. If you haven't done it yet this week, you need to take care of it today. So just go to ProFlowers.com or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. Again, the code is Tony T, Tony T, and that'll get you the deal. So I just wanted to make sure that we let you folks know that because I want you to take care of this before midnight tonight. Joe, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, you had mentioned Kwame Kenyatta. He had made an announcement this week that he will not be running for re-election. Do you find it odd that he announces that with a year and a half left in his term?
Yeah, you know, I do find it odd. I think the real takeaway I get from this is really how worthless the city council is going to be under a consent agreement. That's my takeaway from this. You know, there's always been rumors about his health, but it seems to be back on the mend. I think he might not be the only person walking away.
All right. Well, let's come back and talk about that. Joe DeSano again with us. Politibomb.com is where you want to go to listen to him and Republican Jake Davidson. Now, go at it. You really do want to go take a listen to it. It's really quite interesting. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take a break here. A lot more to get to when First Shift continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There are no accidents to report, but we do have heavy traffic on eastbound 696 between Orchard Lake Road and Inkster Road. Still got those traffic lights out on Gratiot both directions at 10 Mile. They're also out on 8 Mile in both directions at Mound and Ryan Roads. But the traffic lights are working again on Telegraph at McNichols in both directions. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Joining me now is Chad. So what is the personal property tax, and how does it indeed affect certain communities?
Personal property tax, the tax, the machinery and equipment inside of a business as opposed to the building and the land. And for some communities, it's a huge percentage of their local budget, and it's not necessarily the communities you would think. In some cases, it's a fairly small town.
On 1310 WDTW.
Have you heard about the earthquake that has shaken Wall Street to its very core? Well, brace yourself, for this really is a shocker. Bonus payments are down. Yes, the exorbitant bonus checks pocketed each year by the Goldman Sachs, Citigroupers, and other financial tinkers have been cut by about 25% this year. And, oh, you should hear the Wall Streeters moaning the hard times down and out banker blues. It's a disaster, sobbed one. The entire construct of compensation has changed. Cynics, of course, will say, good, about time. And it is difficult in these times of middle-class collapse and rising poverty to get teary-eyed over a few financial swells getting a trim. But come on, open your hearts to their pain. A hedge fund manager, for example, says it'll now be a strain for him to keep his $7,500 annual membership dues in the Trump National Golf Club. Plus, he worries about food, health care, and boarding. Not for him, but for his two dogs. He's been laying out $17,000 a year for upkeep of his Labradoodle and his Bichon Frise, including around $5,000 to hire a daily dog walker for them. The crunch is so bad for these one percenters that one says he now has to shop for discounted salmon for dinner and has had to give up his annual ski trip to Aspen. And a high-dollar accountant who does financial planning for the wealthy practically weeps for clients who are having to cut back. Could you imagine what it's like to say, I got three kids in private school, I have to think about pulling them out, he asks? Dabbing his eyes with tissues, he adds that these people have been raking in around $500,000 a year, and they never dreamed that they'd be, quote, broke. This is Jim Hightower saying, broke? Get a grip. We should all be as broke as they are.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, May 4th, Joe DeSano again with us. We've been directing you this morning to politibomb.com. Go check it out. You'll find the link at the First Shift Facebook page. You, of course, if you are a candidate, and see, here's the problem. When I was with Todd on Saturday, everybody that came up to us, Joe, I said, and a lot of candidates were walking up to me because they wanted to get on the show, and I would say, oh, this is Todd Cook. You need to hire him. So, well, you know, it's just what I do. Well,
it's certainly appreciated, but we're reaching a point of maximum capacity.
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the day you say, hey, Tony, tone down the rhetoric. We don't, you know, I'm fine with that, but until you tell me that, I'm not going to stop.
Regardless. Appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. All right, let's go back to this the Detroit City Council. By the way, as city councils go, you know, we wouldn't be talking necessarily about the I don't know, the Alpena City Council or the Traverse City City Council and lots of different city councils. But the Detroit City Council really in and of itself is a kind of a unique group of people. They represent a part of the state that is critical to the economic engine of the state of Michigan. They get a lot more media than, let's say, the Alpena City Council would, for obvious reasons. So when it's, you know, announced that one of their own will not run for re-election, maybe that is news. Maybe it's not to the general audience. I would suggest, of course, that it is. But now you said something before we go to break. We know Charles Pugh has said he's not going to run for re-election, and that may be because he wants to run for mayor. I don't know. We could have a separate conversation about that. But if I'm a member of the Detroit City Council, I have to ask myself this question. Is this why I'm here? Is this what I bought into? And you know what? Do I even have a voice anymore? Just consent decree, emergency manager, whatever you want to call it, the bottom line is, am I now a political eunuch? That's the question I'm asking myself.
Well, a political eunuch is really a great way to describe it, because all you're doing is rubber stamping the decisions of the consent agreement. And that isn't why those folks ran for office. Now, some of them might stick around for the paycheck, but there's no guarantee that that paycheck is going to be anywhere near as lucrative as it is now. I mean, that could be changed rather quickly. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that Kwame Kenyatta walked away. because there's no counting on the fact that that money's going to be there.
Would you agree that Kwame Kenyatta is a fairly straight shooter? Because I find him refreshing, actually, because you never have to wonder where he's coming from, and I mean that in the best possible way. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he lets you know straight up front. And frankly, if more politicians were as straightforward as him, I think we'd be able to get through a lot of the political BS and get to real solutions.
Amen, brother. Amen to that. All right, let's go to the phones. In fact, we want to welcome Kwame in West Bloomfield. And Kwame, we appreciate you giving us a call this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so this is Kwame from West Bloomfield. I actually called you several months ago about smoking.
I remember that.
I don't want to say Kwame. You know, on this issue of race, I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed, not with you necessarily, but just with media personalities in general when they talk about the issue of race. Because all too often, it's always comes from the perspective of the victim, i.e., people that are African-American who've been victimized by racism in all its forms. And rarely do you ever hear it talked about from how it affects white people and their psyche. I can honestly say I think one person on TV, on radio, that I've ever heard talk about it astutely is Rachel Maddow. So when you guys talk about this issue, you really need to make sure that it's just not coming from the black perspective. But how's a white leader going to take it? I think you talked about it yesterday, but, you know, white people are affected by racism, too. So I'll
Well, of course they are. Yeah. And Kwame, we had Dennis that just called from Canton that said, you know, that came from that perspective, that said as a white man managing black co-workers, that they, you know, they gave him some stuff because they didn't feel like he could adequately represent them because he hadn't walked in their shoes or walked down their path. And again, that's a conversation we need to have.
I understand that, but what he said again was from what black people were thinking, not what he was thinking. Yeah, granted, he said what he was going to go in and do, but he didn't mention his perspective on race and racism, how to affect his management.
All right. Well, with that said, with that said, I'm going to give, and then Joe, if you want to do this, feel free. If not, that's fine too. I'm going to give my perspective. I have been discriminated against because of the size I am. I have. As a fat man, I've been discriminated against. But I'm still a white guy. And as a white guy, I have been afforded opportunities that black people, people of color, do not get. I don't know what it's like to be racially discriminated against. So I can't speak truth to power on that, Joe DeSano, because I've never been in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, we're both white American males in the early 21st century. There's no better group of folk or more fortunate group of people to ever walk the planet than people like me and you, Tony.
Right.
In my relationships with African American clients and friends, I bend over backwards not to be condescending because I don't understand. I've never been a victim of it myself. So it's you know, Kwame brings up a good point. That's certainly something I'm going to think about off the air. But it's tough to understand that perspective if we've never suffered it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting because as somebody called me, I don't know, wasn't that long ago, six weeks ago, and said that if there was such a thing as being able to make somebody an honorary black man, they wanted to make me an honorary black man, which I think is a compliment. I think it is. I took it that way. I truly did. In fact, they asked me to run for the mayor of the city of Detroit, but I'd have to move, and I can't sell my house, and I can't afford my house and another one. It just can't work for me. You know, I'm not Mike Duggan. I don't have that kind of money. All that being said, I want to try to get another topic in before we have to let you go today. Susan Demas, who has become a regular contributor to this program and was on with us just yesterday, and unfortunately, I didn't have this column yesterday, or her and I would have gone at it a little bit. I have a column in front of me, Joe, titled, "Liberals Have Only Themselves to Blame for Emergency Manager petition debacle. Well, I don't agree with everything she had to write here, which is why it would have made for damned good radio. But you and I are going to talk about it.
Well, it's ironic because I had a conversation with her last night about this column. And I didn't realize that she's a regular contributor either.
Just started with us.
Yeah. Well, she'll be a great contributor. There's no question about that. But, you know, here's the thing. My opinion on this is real simple. Those members of the board were looking to screw Democrats. Okay? To me, there's no question that that's the fact. The problem is, by not getting those petitions approved beforehand, we played into their hands. And to me, that's the crux of the matter. They were looking to screw us. We helped them.
Agreed. Listen, like I said, we wouldn't disagree on all of this stuff. And listen, you do it. I do it. She doesn't necessarily. And you and I do this. We do it very publicly. And anybody that's ever heard me speak publicly knows that I hold Democrats accountable for their own foibles. They're great at being dysfunctional. In fact, Joe, in the open to today's show, you talk about nobody mentoring you within the Democratic Party. Everything you've had to fight for. And you know what? If you were a Republican, you wouldn't say that because you're damned good at what you do. And if you're a Republican, you and I both know you would have been taken care of in a much different way.
Oh, absolutely. They do a stellar job of bringing people along. Sadly, here in Michigan, and I'm sure across the country, that new voices are stamped out at every turn.
Oh, listen, when I was running for Congress, I had a consultant that works for the campaign that said there are two states that he swore he would never work in again, and he didn't work for me that long. One of them was New York, but number one, he said, is Michigan, the two most dysfunctional Democrat states in the country as far as political campaigns. Very quickly, Jerry in Farmington Hills joins us. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Tony. Like you're discussing about having a white mayor for the city of Detroit, I'm again figuring with the consent agreement / emergency financial manager, does it really matter? And also, there's going to be suburban communities that are going to be going down the same path as Detroit. One in particular might be Allen Park because of the bonds that they financed.
No, they're a mess. Absolutely, Jerry, they're a mess.
Motion picture studio that unfortunately is folded on them. They're stuck with a big vacant building on Southfield Road they have no use for. And I had figured somewhere down the road that that's going to have an effect on them. I grew up in Allen Park, and I know the mayor there. I went to high school with him, you know. But like I said, when it starts hitting people like that in suburban communities, especially white suburbanites, they're going to wake up and realize that, you know, an injury to one is an injury to all.
Well, you're sounding like a liberal union guy, Jerry. Thanks for the call.
Yes, I am. I'm a retired union electrician.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Joe, I'm going to let you wrap it up. We're just about out of time.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
I was going to give you. You want any? Got a couple seconds? Anything you want to throw in there before we go?
No, just hit politibomb.com and happy Star Wars Day to all the nerds out there. I'm with you, and hopefully I'll see you tomorrow, Tony, in Lansing.
Yeah, in fact, I'm on my way up there today to get my son from Michigan State, and then I'll be back up tomorrow for the rally, and back up next weekend for the Michigan Summit, which Main Street Strategies is a partner in. So, Joe, I'm sure we'll be seeing you sometime in the next 8 days. In the meantime, thank you so much, folks. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
At 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well.
So have yet to register to vote. I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
When I started 3 years ago as Executive Director, we were just really a couple years old at that time. We had just really started up in 2007. And we had, even at that point, over 50,000 supporters who signed up with us. And this year, we just eclipsed over 80,000. And these are folks that only really come in as our signed-on supporters by doing something, taking action, engaging with our elected officials, showing up at events, signing petitions. It's not a passive thing to be a supporter of Progress Michigan. So I think out of all the things as I look back, that's one of the things that I'm really feel great about.
On 1310 WDTW.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, Tony Trupiano, with you. Happy to be with you. Listen, I know I just mentioned it, but I want to mention it again because the deal ends at midnight, and I don't want you to miss it. Think about this a minute. 1999. Listen, especially on the male side of this, guys, we were probably a real pain in the rear to mom at some point in our lives. Women, you know, they're much better to their moms. Not in a mean way. Don't take that the wrong way. Please, no, don't take that the wrong way. It's just guys are a little rougher. You know, we aren't as sensitive. We don't take care of our mom usually, and when we're young, the way we should. This is a chance to make up for a little bit of that. Mom, wife, aunt, you know, even grandma for that sake. A lot of people had a great relationship with their grandmother. Grandma's helped raise them. That was true in my case. I've got a great stepmother. Again, you just don't want to forget to take care of these people. So if you do this before midnight tonight for $19.99, you get a dozen rainbow roses. You get a free vase. And all you have to do is go to proflowers.com. At the very top, you'll see a microphone. Click on that. Type in the promo code Tony T, T-O-N-Y-T. Now, you'll recall when we did this promotion with Pro Flowers back on Valentine's Day, lots of people posted to both Facebook and called the show and talked about how beautiful the flowers were that they got, how long they lasted. I gave you my testimonial, took some pictures as well, posted that to the Facebook page. $19.99. Now, if mom's more of a green thumb person, then you might want to get the potted plant of pink roses, which is just $10 more. And again, just go to proflowers.com, same deal. Click on the microphone, type in Tony T, get that deal. You can also call them at 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. I cannot impress upon you enough. This deal is only good until midnight. So as some of you did the last time, you got a hold of me the next day or a couple days later. There's going to be a new deal next week, so be mindful of that. You need to take care of this before midnight tonight. Now, this stuff doesn't have to be delivered tomorrow, okay? That's not what this is about. It's about getting the order in. So go ahead and do that. Take care of those women in your life. Mother's Day is literally a week from Sunday, so do not forget. Do not forget. All right. Yeah, also, let me, again, one more time, although I said I was only going to mention it once, this is now the third time, but I feel it's important to let you all know, everybody that reached out to me, sent me an email, left a voicemail, I sent all that stuff on to Clear Channel Management. They know how you feel about moving Stephanie to 10 o'clock at night. Many of you have written about Randy being moved from 6 to 7, and that impacted a lot of people because many of you are driving home. You know, your commute home is at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, you're home already. So I get that. Very thoughtful, considerate emails. I have been assured that station management will seriously consider every single one of you. So I want you to know that that we have taken that seriously. Jeff, if I, you know, you and Anthony have had quite a few calls in the control room as well, have you not?
A few, yeah.
Yeah. So we're not ignoring it. We did, again, we wanted to give you an opportunity to respond, and it was not just so you could have a chance to vent. You know, I do believe that, you know, your calls are not going ignored and not being unheard. In fact, Jeff, I was sharing with you yesterday, some people told me that they had called the station or had sent an email and actually got a response, which I was, of course, very happy to hear because I'd like to know that the station is taking the listeners' complaints or concerns seriously, which they seem to be doing. So I'm very happy about that. What do you got going on for the weekend? Kentucky Derby and Cinco de Mayo, right?
You got that right. Mint juleps, got to get started today. I don't know if I'll do the hot brown sandwiches or not, but we'll see.
Okay.
Tigers game's going on. I might check that out.
All right. Now, you know, I was going to say you might be able to go to a restaurant somewhere and order a hot brown, but I've never seen one on a menu, so I can't tell you that.
Well, and we had a little discussion before the show. Wouldn't it be smart if there was like a restaurant that kind of did a promotion, hot brown sandwiches, mint juleps, and watch the derby here?
Would be very smart. Would be very smart. But, you know, again, we don't program, if you will, all of these different restaurants and bars, and if we did,
you only handle 1310 a.m. That's the only programming you do, right?
Oh, sweet God. Yeah, anyway. So, Anthony, you excited about your brother coming home for the summer?
Vinny?
Huh?
Jeff throws out the dog's name, and Anthony does the huh. Are you excited about your brother coming home for the summer?
Yeah, I can't wait to share the upstairs again and share a bathroom and all that fun stuff.
Well, good, because he'll be home in a couple hours.
Awesome.
Well, maybe more than a couple hours. You know, originally I was going to sit in for Ed Schultz today, but I thought collecting my son from Michigan State was a little more important. And Anthony and Jeff were teasing me this morning that I perhaps love my dog a little too much. And I'm assuming that's what you guys were giving me a hard time about. I make no bones about the fact that I love that little dog. I can't help it. He has been a light in my life. I'm not ashamed to say that. Now you're both quiet. Sure, I see how it is. Oh, okay, yeah, I chuckle, but it's true. There's nothing wrong with loving your dog. In fact, I'm going to suggest, you know, I was never one of those people that said, because, you know, there are people that only have pets, they don't have children. And, you know, those are my kids. And I've never been one of those people that made fun of that because I believe that, you know, people can love their pets as if they're children. I do believe that. I've now become one of them. I've never felt this way about any other pet I've ever had in my life. So don't ask me why. Maybe I'm getting older. Maybe, Anthony, you don't love me enough. Maybe this is your fault. Anthony, don't ignore your father. Is that what it is? What?
No, I was just coughing.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Stop it with the Star Wars thing. This is just crazy. This may the fourth be with you. I want to know who started this. Somebody needs to get to the bottom of this because it's ridiculous.
Star Wars has an official Facebook page and they posted it. So they're part of it as well, obviously.
So they started it.
I don't know if they started it, though. I don't know who did. Maybe, Joe said, some nerd put it on a shirt, and the next thing you know, people ran with it.
Okay. Well, may the fourth be with all of you. All right, we're not quite done yet. We've got a little time to fill. I got plenty to do. I'm just saying, this is ridiculous. May the fourth be with you. Sweet God. All right. Very, very quickly, looking at announcements. That was last night. I want to do this one. Actually, two. Michigan Summit. I mentioned it earlier. You heard the commercials. Go to MichiganSummit.org. The Michigan Summit.org. Register there. We're going to start giving away tickets next week, a pair of tickets every day. Let me explain how this is going to work. Your name's going to be at the door. So you're not going to actually get, I'm not going to mail you tickets, but I promise you when you win, your name will be at the door. You will be able to get in. We did it last year. It worked just fine. Progress Michigan, smart people. Don't worry about it. All right? And then my good friends with the Consortium of Democratic Clubs, Northville, Livonia, Plymouth Community, and West Oakland Dems, their spring gala, Saturday, May 19th. Keynote speaker Hanson Clark at the Meadowbrook Country Club. Again, if you'd like to get more information, 734-776-1763. Anthony and Jeff, thank you. We are out of here for today. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Booyah! 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 That's right. BYOB, bring your own booyah!
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're following a couple of accidents right now. On 696 westbound, just after Woodward, you got your two right lanes blocked. 16 Mile Road eastbound, just before Van Dyke, your left lane is blocked. And we got traffic lights out on 8 Mile, both directions at Mound and Ryan Roads, Gratiot North and South at 10 Mile, and 9 Mile east and west between Ryan and Mound. You want to treat those as four-way stops. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 51 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 71 degrees and partly cloudy. And it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.